It's just a pleasure to talk to you guys. I've been a Christian for 14 years. I met Christ when I was 19. Knew of him very young. We've got a picture up there. I've got to try to work out this clicker. There we go. That wasn't me as a kid. I just found a picture on Google today. Because my photo album, I don't have a scan or anything like that, so I just got Google and said black and white baby boy, and that's what came out. But I used to have a little trolley like that, but I grew up. Who came up here before with KT26? Daniel. Okay, stand up. I want you to show that shoe. Because that was the shoe that we coveted for in about 1979 to 1983. The Dunlop KT26. I think it's made out of like tire material. That's why it's called Dunlop. But we're seeing a resurgence even of the Dunlop Volleys. Does anyone wear Dunlop Volleys? It is ridiculous. I have got my size 7 Bulleen Templestowe Tennis Club Dunlop Volleys still at Mum and Dad's house. Because they're German, they never throw anything out. It'll always come into handy one day for something. But it's funny how fashions go around. But I didn't ever really wear this as a kid, pink. I would never do that. Mum tried to make me wear pink, but anyway, hey, just welcome. I want to read this scripture again, and then we're just going to chat. It says, you then, and Paul's writing here to Timothy, and he goes, you then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust them to reliable men who will be qualified to teach others. So I need 3 volunteers. Can you, 3 people come up here? 1, 2. My daughter, let me get one from the family. Who's up? Yeah, you are. Come on. Up you get. There you go. Yes. Yes, it's me. He picked me. Not really. Your friends picked you. Fantastic. You can come up. You're a token kid as well. All right. So imagine I'm Paul and I'm writing. You're going to be Mick. Come over here. You can be Timothy. You can be the reliable men, and you can be others over there. All right. Eden, go with that young lady over there. Beautiful. All right, so here's the living scripture, like, filled out. I'm Paul, and I'm writing this letter. Hey, Timbo, the things you've heard me, the things you've seen me do, okay, everything that you're modeling your life off me, I want you to go teach it to faithful men. And this is a group of faithful men right here, okay? He talks, he teaches, he does fantastic things. Why? So that they, in turn around, will be able to go and teach others. And you see this very simple thing here in 2 Timothy chapter 2. There's 4 generations or 4 faith generations that are happening, taking place. It's all inspired by Jesus because Paul used to say, imitate me as I imitate Christ. So Paul is transferring something to his son in the faith, whose job was to go and teach it to faithful men, whose job was to then go and teach it to others, whose job was to then go and teach others, and others, and others, and on and on and it goes. You get the picture? Okay, so fantastic. Why don't you all go sit down and give them a hand for being participants. Fantastic. So, we see here, very simply, a 4-fold transfer. And it bugs me when I read the Old Testament, and I think it's in the start of Judges, when Joshua's reign was coming to an end, and it was like, when Joshua and all his elders died, all of a sudden the next generation completely didn't follow God. And it all went completely crazy. And in the space of like 15 years, bang, it all went back down. So if guys like your pastor here, if we don't do a good job of actually equipping you, then all of our life is kind of just done for waste. So it's always very important, and you've seen it in the Commonwealth Games if you went earlier this year, the relay change, the baton change of where you're handing the gospel and the DNA that God wants you to take. If you stuff up the changeover, you disqualify. The race is gone. You can be ahead by 99 meters at the 3rd baton change. And if you drop it and you go out of your lane, it's all over. It's just absolutely all gone. And I mean, as skilled as you are in running and running fast, if you don't actually give what you've got to the next generation, well, you're like a shooting star. Wasn't that great? Oh, where's it gone? It's gone. Okay? Shooting stars are beautiful, but they're only there for a very fleeting moment. Now, I know being a dad and stuff, you want to build your kids for the future. You know, it's just not about me. It's not the Marty Kuchka Ministries.inc, you know, show or anything like that. It's definitely about setting up the next generation for success. So that's what this scripture is all about. And I just want to tell you a few stories tonight that kind of relate this principle. And so I was a kid back in, born in 73. I'm 33 right now and grew up in Lower Templestowe. Does anyone know where Lower Templestowe is? About 20 minutes that way. Yeah. Mum and Dad came out here from Germany in the 60s on a ship and settled in Lower Templestowe and are still there in the same 5,000 bedroom house with no one in it. But no, they're great. They're fantastic. Love them. Awesome parents. Got an older brother who's over in Germany as a missionary. But basically, if you would sum up my childhood, I was the shy little German boy with a couple of other wogs on the street and a street full of Aussies that just used to bash us, tease us, and all this type of stuff. But I was German. We had better engineering. We had better slingshots. We had faster billy carts. We could beat any Aussie in a billy cart race or outfire and break their windows with slingshots with those really nice spike balls off the liquid amber tree. Beautiful. Just when they're hard. Fantastic. They make good dints in people's heads. But very, just a normal, shy little German kid. I missed the slice of Australiana on Saturday mornings. That was little athletics, football, little league football and cricket. Never did any of that. Because until the age of 13, I was in German language school in the city on a Saturday morning. Everyone go, yeah. Has anyone studied German at high school? Das ist gut. Das ist gut. Ich kann immer noch ein bisschen Deutsch sprechen. Mein Grammar ist nicht so gut, aber Achim lacht über das, so das ist gut. I just said that you're all overweight and you, no, I didn't. I just said that it's just great. So I can still speak a little bit of German, and but I missed out on football, cricket, and little athletics. I did grow up playing basketball, however. So played basketball my whole childhood. Just tore my anterior cruciate ligament 6 weeks ago, so I'm getting an operation in 3 weeks, which is really fun. At the age of 33, get a Rico. Yes. Oh, it's fun. But anyway, that was a part of my childhood. Pretty shy, inhibited. Aussies picked on me, stole my bike, you know, got my drag star and threw it down in the Yarra River and things like that, bent the forks, and but I was the first person to have a BMX with tufts. You don't remember BMXs with tufts? I had the Viking. It was a white-framed bike. Very, very, like, footballers now wear white boots, right? Everyone wears white boots. When you first wore white football boots, everyone thought you were, like, really, really, like, up yourself and proud and stuff like that. Now it's commonplace. Back in the early 80s, having a white BMX frame, everyone just thought, man, this guy thinks he's like king of the hill. And I was fast. I could do a good mono and jump stuff and things like that, but I had a white Viking. Why am I telling you this? I don't really know, except to give you a bit of a picture of what I was as a kid. And that's not me, but I'm just representing me. 20-something years later, let's go. There's me on my wedding day. Don't I look awesome? But even better than that is my wife. She is just a stunner. Can anyone pick what country she might be from? India, don't you tell. Don't tell. India. Nobody good? No, not India. Anyone else? Anyone else? Come on, come on. Cyprus, very nice. No. Somewhere in Europe. Hands down, shush up. Yeah. Greece, somewhere in Europe? No. Far, let me get my, I did teach geography, far Eastern Europe. Dun, dun. Who? Oh, yes. Give him the door prize. What's your name? Peter gets the door prize, and the door prize is, well, we're going to organize it. Pete's going to organize it tonight. Romania, so I said they came out from communist Romania in early 80s. And my wife and I, she's Romanian, I'm German. I got saved at 19. She got saved at 16. We met in a Greek youth group in the city. So a Romanian and a German, both now in Aussie, met in a Greek youth group, an English-speaking Greek youth group in Richmond, corner of Coppin and Palmer Street. It was unbelievable. So we basically, I think we courted for about a year and a half, got married for 2 years, and we're married for 10 years now, three kiddies, and I became a school teacher. I loved sports in high school. My biggest role model was my high school PE teacher. And after I finished my exercise science degree, didn't know what to do. So I said to my dad one day, Dad, what should I do? And he said, son, this is what you should do. And I did it. And he said, you love kids. You love being a role model. Why don't you go and be a teacher? I thought, okay, fair enough. Good. And I rang up, Ian Broadley, who was the, lecturer at the time at Hawthorne. to get an interview to do my dip ed. Is anyone a teacher here? Anyone a high? Yeah, you're a teacher. Primary, high. Primary, high. Yeah, beautiful. High. Fantastic. And I rang up for my interview. I was so nervous because I'd never done public speaking. I'd just become a Christian. Wasn't really sure of myself, how to speak out loud. I was fine when I did wrong things, but being pure, I didn't know how to be that confident. I rang up and got my interview. Hi, my name's Marty Kuchko. I'd love to get an interview to do a grad dip ed. And oh yeah, fantastic. Let's get this time, 3:30 on a Thursday. Okay, fair enough. Great, see you then. Click the phone down, and then I had nightmares of standing in front of 30 teenage high school students, and they were all like me. They were like, because I was not that nice in high school. And I thought of teaching 30 Martys, and I thought, okay, no. I rang back up. So I'm sorry, I'm cancelling the appointment. I can't do it. Bye. Click. And then I rang back up. This process went, I made 3 different bookings over 2 days because I was that scared. I was just scared to speak publicly. They say after the fear of death, fear of public speaking is like the second scariest thing in the world. So if you're at your friend's funeral, you'd rather be in the coffin than actually giving the eulogy. Isn't that weird? Just think about that. Okay, and so I finally got an interview. I did my grad dip ed. I did my teaching rounds out at Ferntree Gully Secondary, which was a lot of fun, having shot puts thrown at me and things like that by the kids. I was probably the worst starting teacher you could ever want. I know I'm buff and I know I'm big. I know, but still, the inner man, the inner child, still needed to be trained, to be strengthened, to be encouraged. And I actually had my first year of teaching at Luther College, my old high school. You go there. So Mr. Nitschke is still there. Basil, he's still there. Yes. Good teacher, but very, very firm. Lovely man, Bernie. Looked like John Cleese. We called him Basil. No. Yes, it is. No, it's Basil, actually. Just call him Basil. See what he says. I actually had my first year teaching back at my old high school. So when I was punching up the year sevens being in year 12, when I went back to teach, the year sevens were in year 12. So if that figures, the first day of my teaching at Luther, the whole bunch of year 12 boys came up and cornered me in the back behind the A block and just, they were ready to go. And I was like, I was nervous. And they were just joking, and then I gave my testimony, and all the teachers started crying. Mr. Moore, I don't know if you had Mr. Moore, the art teacher, photography teacher. Oh, they had Welcome Back, Prodigal Son. It was fantastic. But had a great year teaching, and I taught then for 10 years at Oxley College out in Chirnside Park. So I've just left an 11-year teaching career where basically you get to train and model up young guys and girls for like 5 days a week, 40 weeks a year. Awesome job. If you're considering impacting the youth of Australia, just go and be a teacher. Because if you're a good one and you get respect and you earn respect, then you've just got kids forever. I go all around Melbourne. There's, I think there's 9 people in our church now that are just kids I taught at school. And they're going to help me do a church plant out in Wonga Park in a cafe. So teaching's an awesome job. Now, why did I leave that? Well, God kind of gave me a student, and I think he's right up here. And there he is. It's a very close-up photo. He was wearing a white T-shirt that day. Oh, no, hang on. Let me do you this. Oh, that's not good. Okay. All right, all my punchlines are going right now. But getting back to the second... Oh, hello. White T-shirt again. Okay. Let me just give you this fact here, because this is going to help you with 2 Timothy chapter 2 and pouring your life into just a few people. If for 35 years you led 1,000 people to Christ every day, non-stop, guess how many people you'd have? Now, come on, who didn't read that? Come on, it was up there. 12 points. Let's go to the next click. Oh, can you do the clicks for me? I feel good. 12.8 million. Now, that's pretty impressive. Okay, that's fantastic. If we went out and got 1,000 people a day to Christ, non-stop, 365 a year for 35 years, that's like a good long generation, okay? It adds up to 12.8 million people. That's pretty impressive. But let's go to the next dot point. After 35 years of just discipling one person a year, so come up with me, mate. What's your name? Andy, get up, Andy. Imagine me and Andy hook up in a church or a youth group or a cafe. You are so tainted by the worldview of this day. We hook up, we develop great friendship. It's a real mentoring relationship, discipleship, fantastic. And at the end of that 1 year of hooking up as awesome father and son in the faith, we each go off and find one new person. So you grab someone. Why don't you come up, sir? This is year two. Roger?
Roger,
Marty, how you doing? So in the second year, we've picked one new person, we're mentoring, we're discipleship, we're building real strong foundations in the faith, so much so that after the second year, we each go off and grab one new, I mean, we're obviously working at this, so g'day mate, go make an effort. Go make an effort. So, alright, so in the third year, you've got one, two, four, six, that's eight. Eight people, okay? Well, it's up to them. So we've got, this is the third year in a row. Fantastic. Now, if we kept doing this over and over, just for 35 years, you only have to get one person a year. Who can give me a ballpark figure of what you think it adds up to? Which is? Come on, smarty pants. And the maths award up the back there. Yeah. Talk is cheap. What do you reckon it is? Come on. 300 million. Very long way behind, but well done for trying. Second prize. Come on, let's go. Who is maths awards up the back? 2 to the power of 34. What do you reckon it is? Give me a figure. Throw out a figure. Go. Not who? 300 million. Higher. Let's do No Prices Right. 70 who? 70 billion. Lower. But you're close. Let's show the answer up on the display. And after 35 times, 42.7 billion! Billion disciples. That is huge. That covers Earth, Mars, Venus, everything. If there is life out there, it's all covered. Fantastic. You guys can sit down. Fantastic. But give them a hand as well. It covers everyone. It basically unlocks exponential growth. Now, have a look after 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 years, you're at 1,024. I'd love to be in a church of 1,024 hardcore athlete, farmer, what's the other analogy there? Soldier disciples. That'd be awesome. Rather than just get a crowd and get deflated like the Goodyear blimp and go home. But disciples would be fantastic. After 15 years, that's 1,000, 3, 4, 5. You got 40,000 people in your church. Or basically maybe 40 churches of 1,000 people all around Melbourne. That's huge. That's huge. Or 80 churches of 500 people all around Melbourne. That's insane. So now I want you to start to think that little old you can actually cause over 35 years, you could cause 42.7 billion people on the planet to come to Christ. Okay? So what's your name, mate? Yeah. Alistair. So good old Alistair. This is what God said to Gideon. He just said, just one person hiding late at night in the wine press, treading out some grain. Hey, you, Alistair, mighty man, man of valor. And Alistair's like, me? Can't you see I'm hiding? I'm like scared. No, the only you. God sees the ability in you. And God saw that in me. A little shy German kid from Lower Temple said, no, I want you to go and be a high school teacher, Marty. I've got faith in you. And I used to have dreams of standing in front of men and young guys and young girls and teaching and things like that. It wasn't in me, it was God in me. And so God used to believe in me. So I want to just really encourage you, God believes in you. And this all happened, that's me on the right, and that is Josh on the left. And I taught that guy Josh at Oxley from grade 3 onwards, and he's now 20 years old. He's playing VFL football at Box Hill, and went through the Eastern Rangers TAC Cup squad. And yet I taught him as a snotty, little, arrogant grade 3 kid. And he got saved when he was 16, took him to an athlete Bible study, and he got just radically saved. We used to beat each other up, really, as teacher and student. I don't know if a teacher ever, like, in a nice way, beat you up, but we'd make sure when we picked teams during a PE lesson that he was always on the opposite side to me just so we could line each other up. And because he was very, very, like, you know, a man in a boy's age group or something like that. I don't know if that sounds right. But he was an awesome bloke. And he got saved. And through this one guy, this is where I am today. So being at a football club, being a chaplain, and I'll show some more pictures soon, but this young guy here was just one person, and he, for me, he is unlocking not only his own destiny, but just an opportunity to be amongst footballers for the future. Go to the next one. So this is where I am at the moment. It's the Eastern Rangers Football Club. Is anyone aware of the Eastern Rangers Footy Club? Probably, yeah, a few people. They do train out at Kilsyth. Most of their home games are played over at Box Hill City Oval. And they're 15 to 18 years old. There's 150 players at the club, plus their family and probably 30 staff. And Jesus told me, just like I did teaching, but just like at the footy club, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. The word nations in Matthew 28 is the Greek for ethnos, or ethnic groups, every people group. Go make disciples of every people group. And I missed, remember, I missed football as a kid. I didn't do that. I didn't do the whole Aussie Ocker thing. I was playing basketball, which is a little more, I don't know, legit or safe. And when God put Josh in my life and he switched from basketball to football, and when he got saved, Josh said, Marty, you've got to come with me to the footy club. They need you at the footy club. And I'm like, I don't want to go to Nineveh. Don't send me there. Let them burn. Where's my boat and let's go sailing or something. I just didn't want to go. And yet it happened, I think two Christmases ago, that outside the Box Hill Golf Club, I took Josh to a men's leadership breakfast, and who was walking on the side of the road at 7:15 in the morning was the senior coach of, he's on right on the right-hand side there, guy in the grey polo top. He was walking along the street outside the Box Hill Golf Club two Christmases ago at 7:15, and Josh was like, Marty, that's my coach. I'm like, wow, let's meet your coach. And he was like, boys, what are you doing? You've been out on the Terps, go and get some more beers at Box Hill Golf Club, eh? I said, no, I'm taking my friend to a leadership breakfast. And the coach said, what, leadership breakfast? What's that about? I said, oh, you know, I'm a Christian and I've got a vision to, you know, reach young athletes in Australia and really see young AFL footballers really use their platform to be a better role model and rah, rah, rah. And he's like, that's my vision. I said, actually, I said it. It's my vision. No, that's my vision. All right. And he was really, you know, he's got a lot of vision. And he said, you know, we need to hook up and have coffee. So we had a coffee and I gave a presentation to him. And is hook up a bad word, is it? Well, we met formally over a cup of coffee. Is that better, ladies? You're blushing there. Fair dinkum. Youth today. You say, what's going on? What can we do? Fair dinkum. Hey, so we met formally over a cup of coffee, and I shared with him some of the things I could offer a club. I said, I'm leaving full-time teaching and I want to do this, you know, as a mission calling. And he said, well, what do you want to do? I said, I want to do this, da, da, da. Give me your top 8 athletes and let me mentor them. He said, 8? Take the whole club. Mentor me, my staff. So that's what I'm doing. And my goals are there to reach the athletes and the football world with the gospel of Jesus, to establish athletes in their relationship with Christ and a local church, and then to send those athletes to change their culture, meaning their culture, like stay in their culture, and eventually the world. And each of those young guys there probably has a dozen other guys that want to be them. And they're not drafted. They don't have salaries, nothing like that that an AFL player would. They just do this for the love of the game to try to make it to the next step. But they're 15 to 18 years old. They've probably got all a dozen guys down from South Croydon Footy Club, Croydon, Yarra, Glen, everywhere, that just want to make it to that squad. And when these guys come back, they're the ones that kick 8 to 10 goals every week in their local footy club. Here, they struggle to get a kick sometimes. It's a very big jump in talent, but they're role models already. And that's when I'm telling them that, they just get pretty pumped up. Because most white Aussie kids grow up and don't actually want to be that great. Like, there's nothing really pushing white Aussie kids to be great, because if you don't be great, you just go to Centrelink and get a handout. And it's one of the sad things in our country where you can just go and get a handout for basically sitting on the ground and taxing people who work hard to pay benefits to people who don't lift a finger isn't really God's way of doing economics. And we won't talk about that tonight. If you like that statement, maybe I can get invited back and talk that next time, because I'm a real expert on economics. No. So that's what I do. Let's go to the next slide. The TAC around Victoria has 12 clubs, and I'm at the Eastern Rangers. In May this year, we placed a chaplain out at the Western Jets, which is out in Caroline Springs area. Gary Hocking from the Geelong Falcons, he was a famous Geelong AFL player. He's really desperate to get a chaplain down at the Geelong Falcons in that area. He was really impacted over in the Western Australian Footy League last year by a pastor from Western Australia. And so one of my jobs is to actually place more people like yourself, could be anyone here that really feels a calling to do some chaplaincy or to do some mission work in Aussie footy clubs. A lot of them want someone. There's just not many people have actually heard about it or are then challenged to go. So that might be some of you here. Now, the TAC clubs make up about 60% of the national draft every year. So just when December come round and the AFL teams read out their choices, I think about 70 to 75 athletes get chosen every year. About 60% of them come from these 12 clubs. So one of my dreams, one of my visions is obviously that every drafted player that enters the AFL system has had 3 years of full-time mentoring by a born-again Christian as a chaplain or leadership or mentor at a sub-level footy competition. Does that make sense? So instead of trying to reach them once they got the fat salary and they got all the free stuff they want and all the time on their hands, get them while they're 15 to 18, because being a teacher, it's kind of like the earlier you get them, the better. And the quicker you can pour good foundations in, it just lasts for longer. So, yeah, it's one of my goals. It's a great opportunity to basically hang with young people that would never enter a church. And most of these guys that I speak about, I'll tell you a story in a second, they don't know John 3:16, they don't know Adam and Eve. A lot of them don't know what a Bible looks like. And if you were to go to a footy camp, which I do a couple of times a year, you would think you're in church from the amount of times you hear Jesus Christ's name mentioned. They mention it more than we do in public. They actually say the name of Jesus like a lot more than we would actually, and we're the ones that actually have him in us. Kind of weird, but they just use it as a swear word, you know, different thing. Next slide. Here's two players that I want to tell you about. Top secret, I can't reveal their identity. I can't, I'm sorry, because you got to protect them because they're, you know, an endangered species. No, they're not. Just a bit of confidentiality. But the young guy on the left, we got him saved down at Red Gum Gallery Cafe in Lilydale back in June of this year. He asked me one day on the footy track, just at training, Marty, can I come and have a chat with you? I'm just a bit down on confidence. I've been picked for the Vic Metro team, but you know, I'm just lacking confidence. I said, well, where do you draw your inspiration from? And he said, oh, you know, I've got the quotes of Michael Jordan and Muhammad Ali and, you know, famous athletes. I stick them up on my bedroom. I've got those success posters and, you know, on my mobile. When my mobile rings, it's a quote from Ali, you know, you are the greatest, you know, something like that. I said, but it just doesn't change me. You know, these quotes just don't change me. I said, well, do you know why? He's like, no, why? I said, well, they're just men. I said, men can't change you. And he goes, well, who can? And I'm like, you don't want to know. And he's like, no, I do. No, you don't. So my dad taught me how to fish when I was a kid. And the better you are at fishing, the more you just want to tease the fish before it takes a bite. And you just cast that lure and then you just pull it away. And you make the fish so desperate that it gets out of its comfort zone, just does stupid things that fish shouldn't do, and they literally just jump into your boat. I've never had that actually happen, but it can happen with people, that they just jump into God's kingdom. And so I know a young salesman came back really depressed one day to a sales meeting, and he said, boss, I just can't get these sales. Can't get them. I can't make the person make the decision. And the boss said, look, it's not your job to get the person to make the decision. Just make them thirsty. They'll come and drink. So that's our job as salt and light of the world, just to make people thirsty. You don't have to twist anyone's arm or force anything down their throat. That didn't work for me. Just make people thirsty. They will come and seek the words of the Creator. So he said to me, the words of man don't change me. Who, do you want to know who? Yes, I want to know who. You don't want to know who? Yes, I do. No, I don't. You know. Anyway, I said, well, this is the one who can change you. I said, look up at the sky. What can you see? Oh, deep thought for a footballer. clouds. Ah, he was looking, there's a tree up there. Yep. It's a bird. I said, well, you know, who made it all? What's going on here? Where's this all come from? Oh, geez, you mean like a God thing? I said, yeah. I kind of reckon, you know, God might be real. I don't think it all came from, you know, an accident. I said, well, okay, if God made the world and he made you, do you want to know what he says about you? Because that'll change you. Oh, yeah, I'd love to know. I'd love to know. I said, okay, let me come back. So 2 weeks later, came back with basically a list of Bible verses, really good positive things like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know that verse, Philippians 4:13? And I was about to give it to him 2 weeks later. I said, now, this is going to change your life. Oh, yeah, fantastic. Oh, I don't think you can handle it. So I took it back out of his hand. Well, what do you mean? He goes, well, here, read the first one. So he reads the first one. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's good. It feels good. I said, yeah, but that doesn't apply to you yet. What? I said, well, are you in Christ? In who? And he said, and I said, well, you're not in Christ, so you can't do all things. You're just going to fail. And he's like, you can get the question that's coming. He just says, well, how do I get to be with Christ? He's just asking for the gospel. I said, well, I'm not sure if you can handle that. I was just pushing away until he got so hungry. And so he goes, look, we need to catch up. So we said, look, I said, okay, where do you live? Da da da. Bada bing, bada boom. Next morning, we were at Lilydale, at Red Gum Gallery. I brought a sports New Testament. I brought some napkins because I love drawing pictures on napkins and just, you know, to him. And we sat down and he had a water. I had a latte and we met formally over, a few drinks and said, okay, we met formally and there were other people present and I started to present the gospel as best as I knew how. And I've done some training. A lot of us have done some basic training how to present the gospel, whether it's using verses from Romans, the Roman road, or talking about the Father heart of God. You know, all have sinned and fallen short of the righteousness and so God's glory. And this guy knew nothing. He had no compass. It was worse than Johnny Depp in Pirates 2. Just no idea. He didn't have a compass in his hand. He didn't have nothing. Yet he did have God that had made him. So I was looking for an opening of how the gospel would make sense. And I saw, I've got to go back to Genesis 1:1. And so we just went straight to the start. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Do you believe that? Yeah. I know that's, you know, for real. I know that he made the world. Okay, tick. So we went through ticking boxes and talked about a ladder. You can't climb a ladder of perfection and reach God. Stuff like that. I can't understand that, but does that Jesus guy have anything to do with it? I watched Mel Gibson's The Passion about a month ago over Easter. They showed it on Channel 7. He goes, why did he get so beat up? He just couldn't understand. He goes, it went for so long. Why? It was bloody and everything. It was like, what did he do wrong? I said, okay, found it. He didn't do anything wrong. And all of a sudden it dawned on me. I said, have you seen The Lion, Witch and the Wardrobe? He's like, oh, I love that. Last Christmas, that was fantastic. I said, well, Aslan's Jesus. Oh, you're kidding. He died. And so all of a sudden, all I used was The Passion, a movie, and I used Lion, Witch and the Wardrobe, a movie. I used two movies, and he got saved within 5 minutes. I said, you're like Edmund. You've been eating too much Turkish Delight. You're doing the wrong thing, listening to the wrong voice. You're taking the wrong direction, and you can't buy back your freedom. You can't buy back your redemption. Aslan's gone ahead and died for you. And he came back to life, etc., etc. So I led him through a prayer and he's about to enter my first athlete Bible study group in Melbourne with Josh, the VFL player that's saved. It is awesome. And it's just one person. Now I know that over 35 years, this young guy on the left here is going to make a difference. Not yet, but as I walk with him over a year and we you know, break off and grab new footy players and athletes and his family gets saved, things like that. It's going to grow. So I'm really excited. I'm not too tense to feel pressure that I haven't got 1,000 players saved yet in a year or anything like that. I'm very much walking alongside young men and women. Then the guy on the right, how long have I got? Another 5 minutes? Yep, 5 minutes. Young guy on the right, he's an AFL player and been developing a relationship with him ever since he was 15. He grew up playing at Croydon. And his best mate was another kid I taught at school who's a Papua New Guinea boy. They grew up playing junior footy together. and the Papua New Guinea boy, his family's Christian. So he's seen some Christian families, very smart player, one of the smartest guys you'll ever meet, knows, you know, science and all this type of stuff and all this type of thought. And he's seen what I've done with Josh. He's been watching. He came to church last year one time just to check it out. Oh, that was a dare, actually, and he came. But last Thursday, it was amazing. We met at McDonald's in Victoria Parade in the city after he had finished a uni lecture. He's doing exercise science at ACU. We agreed for 1 o'clock, let's meet, have a chat. He starts the conversation. He's like, oh, you should have seen. I was just in my lecture with my lecturer, and he was saying, oh, you know, the sun has life, and the sun, meaning the like the planet sun thing, the ball of gas. You know, where's the origin and how it all suspends in space? He's like, oh, you know, where'd the sun come from? And so this footy player's, you know, bagging his lecturer. So where do you know? Do you know where the origin of the universe is? Why are we floating? You know, all the gravitational pull. And hey, professor, did you know that if the earth was like one more degree off its axis, we'd all burn and stuff like that? And he was throwing all these like creation facts out. And he's got no idea about creation or anything, but he's teasing the lecturer. And he goes, Marty, who like holds the universe up? Why don't we just all fall somewhere? So I'm like, dude, don't you know the Bible? He's like, no, that's why I'm asking you. So I said, you know, well, it says, you know, in the beginning, God created and we went through Genesis 1 and, God's holding the world by the power of his word and all this stuff. And basically I got to share the gospel with him last Thursday, and he is in the valley of decision right now, to give his life to Christ. You really don't have to know much to actually tell God to other people. I mean, these guys don't know John 3:16. I'm not looking up some obscure verse from the book of Hesitations, chapter 4 or something like that. It's just, you don't need to look up anything obscure, come out with some prophetic word or nothing. Just bust out Genesis 1:1. Just bust out John 3:16. It is so powerful. Did you know God so loved you? If you believe this, rah, bang, bang, they're like, whoa, this is deep, man. Let me wrestle with this thought. It's so much fun. Now, his biggest objection to the gospel was, I don't know how I'm going to give up Mad Monday and what we do on the footy end of season trip. That's his hang up. He's got no philosophical question about actually receiving Christ as his atonement and all that. His biggest hang up, and you've got to understand this, as an elite footballer in the Herald Sun world that we live, where what you choose to believe will be splashed across all pages and make huge ramifications in his peer groups and public life, his biggest wrestle right now is he's counting the cost. I love this guy. He is actually counting the cost, because for him, it'll cost a lot more than it would for you, because no one knows you. You're actually not... You don't have cameras waiting at you four times a week with every decision you make at every nightclub order. You don't have that. You don't have any of that pressure. These guys do, and he's actually considering, oh, I'm so excited. So believe with me for this headless wonder over here. And there's just a couple of guys that I'm investing my life with. Why? Because it says here, the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust them to reliable men who'll be also qualified to teach others. Just have a look at verse 3, 4, 5 again, and just take this on yourself as you are impacting people one at a time. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, it doesn't receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer, he should also be the first to receive a share of the crops. I tell you all here, reflect on what we've been saying, for the Lord will give you insight, all of this. So I just pray that you would feel very special, that just as a shy kid from Lower Templestowe who's now speaking very boldly to Aussie young men in football clubs where I didn't grow up or know the ropes, if that's what God's done with me, then God can do that with you, Alistair, and take you from your point, perhaps right now, of insignificance, where no one really knows you, to a place of significance and really standing in Australia. I believe that Australia is going to be a lot different place in 30 years. I have very much a theology of places getting better and better as we stand up as a church. Do you agree with that? I don't kind of believe in hanging on at the bus stop and waiting for the rapture until Jesus comes. You know, just let's get us all out of here and escape because someone else can clean up the mess. I've very much got a feeling of obligation as the church to pick the ball back up where we've dropped it and actually get in the game and lead the game. So when I think of AFL, when I think of athletes and sport these days as a modern business and all that, yeah, I could boycott it, but that wouldn't fix it. I could just put the blinkers on and drive straight to church and ignore all the thousands of kiddies that are doing Auskick programs and all this stuff going on, and we just never actually get into that part of our culture. God called me. Did I want to? No, but he chose me. Why? Because it's just young guys and girls there that need to know God. It's great to bring the family there. That's one of the only times a lot of players and mums and dads see a functional family. It's just awesome to bring my wife and kids to a TAC footy game. They see how we hug, how we parent and all that. It's just too easy to be a witness. You know why? Because we're very different. There's a lot of light and darkness. So just get out in the darkness a bit. Don't do what they do, but just be amongst them. Jesus fitted kind of better in at parties than he did at the synagogue. So didn't do what they did. He was very much the influencer as he met formally with people in various appointments and filled his schedule. So I just really pray that you guys would get some courage out of some stories that I've shared today, and bless you heaps. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you for this awesome group of young men and women. Every single one here has the capacity to do great things in this country and in the countries around the world. Father, you delight in taking ordinary people and doing extraordinary things through them. Father, you take natural people to do supernatural things through. And we just offer ourselves to our school, our place of work, the skate bowl, wherever, with a university, the footy club, the sports club, the craft group, the quilting group, whatever we're into, whatever we love doing, may that be our mission field. In Jesus' name. Amen.